Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. There are about 150 workers doing oil spill cleanup at the Keystone Pipeline site in northeast South Dakota. TransCanada owns and operates the pipeline that leaked more than 200,000 gallons of crude oil last week. SDPB's Lee Strubinger joins us from the Black Hills Bureau with an update. Lee, welcome.
Hey, good to be here.
You've been monitoring the cleanup process over the weekend. Give us the latest.
So, according to the latest update from TransCanada, officials say they've doubled the number of crew members excavating the site for cleanup and remediation work. The company says the incident is under control and there's no significant impact or threat to public safety. But TransCanada says it's put measures in place to deter wildlife from entering the area, as well as employing some air monitoring systems to keep a check on air quality. Since the spill occurred in a remote area, the company also said that they had to build a gravel road that could handle all the heavy equipment that's traveling in and out of the area. On Friday, you know, we saw on Twitter, you know, a lot of dump trucks and excavators and bulldozers making their way to the site. And TransCanada says crews are working around the clock to clean up the spill.
Now, this isn't the first spill from the Keystone Pipeline. What are state officials saying about this pipeline?
That's right. Many are concerned. This is the second spill from the Keystone Pipeline in as many years. The first happened near Freeman in early 2016. A third spill occurred in North Dakota, but was close to the state border. So I spoke with Gary Hansen, and he's the vice chairman with the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. He says this pipeline spill is extremely disturbing.
This is a relatively new pipeline. It has not been in service that terribly long from a relative standpoint for a pipeline that is supposed to be one of the best ever built. It's supposed to last, have a life of over more than 100 years, and it has had significant leaks.
And while TransCanada has yet to determine what caused the leak, Hansen says he's concerned about the construction of the pipeline.
There's potential for it having violated its permitting conditions, and the South Dakota PUC will take it very seriously.
What we're hearing a lot from people is that this bill brings to mind the weather conditions when the pipeline construction was underway. What do you hear about that?
A lot of the people I've talked to do talk about how rainy and wet it was in 2009 and some of the years before that, even when that pipeline was being laid. According to the Aberdeen News, the land where the spill occurred is Conservation Reserve Program land, and the landowner could have designated that piece of land as CRP acres for any number of reasons, and including that it could be too wet to farm. I asked Hansen if he had any concerns about the weather affecting the construction process, and he says he observed some of that construction happening with the Keystone Pipeline, and he says that it's unlikely that the weather could have affected the welding process, at least.
What about what we're hearing from people about the shifting of the pipeline or other aspects of the construction process? A lot of speculation out there right now.
Well, and those are questions that State Senator Jason Frerichs is asking. Frerichs is a Democratic senator from District 1, which includes Marshall County, and that's where the spill happened.
Does it go back to the concrete saddles that were used to push the pipe in the ground when they were installing this pipeline because it was really wet at those years and in the area that they traveled through? Just has very little ways to get rid of that excess water. And so were some of those situations which caused fatigue on the pipe? And then the next question will be, well, will we see that happen in other places?
Frerichs wants to know if the aquifer underneath is in danger of contamination as well. He says TransCanada responded promptly to the spill. He heard from them almost immediately that afternoon on Thursday. But he says he hopes those conversations continue until they figure out what caused the leak. State Representative Susan Wismer also represents District 1, and she says now is the time for TransCanada to prove that it's a good corporate citizen. She says that's evident by their response already.
When you look at the monstrous parking lot full of equipment, you realize how much of a burden this is going to be to the company, of course, as well. It's a big, big job to clean this up.
Lee, what kind of preparedness on the state level is there for an oil spill such as this?
When TransCanada came to South Dakota with the request to run the Keystone Pipeline through the state, they have certain conditions that they have to abide by in case something like this happens, and you're seeing that play out right now. Like Wismer said, there's a lot of heavy equipment coming into the area, and it'll be hauling a lot of this contaminated dirt out. You know, that puts a strain on local roads. Emergency services in the county on the county level will be needed. There's a cost to the state for having the Department of Environment and Natural Resources employees out there. And when I talked with Senator Frerichs, he brought up previous legislation that he's worked on that would require companies operating sizable pipelines like this Keystone Pipeline to pay into an oil spill cleanup fund. He says it's only fair for a big company like TransCanada to pay a lot of these costs.
This problem is TransCanada's. It's not the people of South Dakota, and so therefore we all need to do our part to hold TransCanada accountable for the liability that they have incurred by creating a nuisance for our people in South Dakota and the land that we all are proud of here.
Frerichs says that could be funded by taxing a couple of cents per barrel that passes through the state. He says it would be similar to funds that exist for underground fuel tank cleanup where consumers pay at the pump.
So this pipeline spill happens in South Dakota. At roughly the same time, the state of Nebraska is deciding to allow Keystone XL pipeline into that state. Now, the pipeline's already been approved in South Dakota. Does this spill, this event, you know, being the second in as many years, suddenly gives state officials pause about the approval?
Well, according to the rules set up by the state legislature, the Public Utilities Commission has to make a decision based on evidence presented in hearings over these pipelines. So the PUC doesn't have the ability to reconsider its approval of the Keystone XL pipeline.
Lee, I'm wondering, what I see mostly around us is this sense of this event bringing up dividing lines for people who are already, you know, really opposed to the pipeline, to people who are concerned about the safety of oil being delivered along the highways in trucks. Everybody seems to have their talking points. Are you hearing that mostly from a lot of people, that people are digging in their heels with how they already feel about oil pipelines, or are you hearing things that kind of move the conversation forward a little bit too regarding this spill?
Well, I know there. I'm hearing that, you know, a lot of the locals up there are fairly happy with the response that's taking place so far by the company in getting this cleaned up. I think you're already seeing, I believe, in the Lower Brule Reservation, there is a treaty signing press conference going on for the no for the Keystone XL pipeline. Mm-hmm. So much like what we were talking about last year with the Dakota Access Pipeline, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of those debates and talking points and discussions going forward.
All right. Lee Strubinger, we did also invite officials from TransCanada to join us on this program today live. They were not able to make it. We heard no response after repeated attempts. Lee, what are you hoping to look into next? I'm wondering about the, you know, sort of the scientific, you know, notions of what's behind the construction and the wet weather. I'm hoping we can find some information about that. What else are you hoping to dig into? What would you like to know right now?
I think a lot of people are concerned about the timing of the company reaching out to the state. The spill occurred, according to TransCanada, around 6 in the morning, and the state wasn't really notified until about 10:30. Now, there are probably a lot of things that go on during a pipeline spill that could lead to that delay. Another thing that would be worth looking into is the environment impact study that was done for the route of the pipeline in South Dakota. And, you know, there are a lot of factors that could go into if the environment, you know, if this ground was, you know, wet and there's a lot of bentonite in the area. Mm-hmm. You know, bentonite is a soil that expands quite a bit. Maybe that put pressure on the pipeline. So I guess there are a lot of factors if it wasn't faulty construction, that could go into something like this pipeline leaking.
Lee Strubinger, thank you so much for your reporting. He'll continue to bring you updates on that on our newscasts. He joins us from the Black Hills Bureau. Lee, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You can follow Lee at LeeSDPB. That's on Twitter. Follow me at MomentSDPB, also on Twitter. We'll bring you updates as we have them.